Do you shop online at popular places like Amazon, 1-800-Flowers, Orbitz, Family Christian Stores, Groupon, Lego, Old Navy, and more? You can help us raise funds for the station with one quick stop before you shop. Please go to shopkkxx.com before you shop online, and popular merchants like Amazon.com will donate a portion of your purchase to the station. It's that simple. Just one quick stop at shopkkxx.com, and you can help us continue this great Christian programming.
As a Christian community, we have a real opportunity to support local Christian education. We are challenging everyone that hears this message to step out in faith, and let's see what God can accomplish when we all work together. Be a champion for champion. We are part of the North Valley Community Foundation's Annie B fundraiser. It runs from now until September 30th, and donations are partially matched. So donate at nvcf.org today. And be a champion for champion.
Hi, this is Andrea.
And this is Cherie.
Are your trees sick?
If so, they need certified arborist Mark Wesley, your local tree doctor.
We have the most scientific technology in our area. M&S Wesley Tree Service can diagnose and treat your trees and write the proper prescription to keep your trees healthy for years to come.
Call M&S Wesley for your free consultation today. 855-899-TREE. That's M&S Wesley Tree Service at 855-899-TREE. M&S Wesley, your local tree doctor.
And Andy's Bullseye Repair.
Specializing in auto glass repair from bullseyes to full glass replacement. All insurance and major credit cards accepted. Call for a free estimate at 877-7387. 877-7387.
Welcome to the big show.
He could go all
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. We're going to talk to Gidi Hansen. She is a works at the Growing Place we'll talk about that momentarily. But she helps people with issues that they have. But she's also a former Muslim and turned Christian, and she has a real insight. She was a Muslim until the age of 28, and she has interesting insight. She was on our show last week, and this Muslim issue continues to be a part of the dialogue in our country. We had another gruesome death. I believe I've lost track, maybe one or two since the last time we talked last week. And there's talk that some of these ISIS are going to attempt to come across our borders. And I mean, I don't understand it, and I don't think any of us understand it. And we're speaking to Gidi Hansen, and Gidi, just so I make sure I have your official title right, I think I kind of messed that up at the beginning. She is a marriage and family therapist, registered intern at the Growing Place, located over on East Avenue. She's a Christian, and people who have well, go ahead, why don't you say good morning to us?
Oh, hi. Good morning.
I kind of monopolized the microphone.
That's
there.
Okay.
But before we get into that discussion, I want to make sure explain the kind of work that you do over at the Growing Place.
Oh, I have the great privilege of working at the best place in Chico for therapy. I just love being there. Uh-huh. It's a peaceful place. Even when the post people come to deliver the mail, they say, we don't want to leave.
Because
there's just so much peace there.
Yeah.
So I counsel with adult individuals, with adolescents, with children, with groups, with couples, with families.
Good, good. I'm glad I'll let you describe it better than I was unable to do.
Thank you.
By the way, Gidi's number, by the way, is 588-0448, 588-0448. If you, a family member, somebody you know, has some issues they want to deal with from a Christian perspective, she can do that as well. Speaking of which, you used to be a Muslim until the age of 28. You grew up. You were born and raised in Iran.
Well, actually, I was born in Iran, but I grew up in America, basically.
Okay.
Although I went back and forth five times by the time I graduated from high school in America.
What is it that that people need to understand? I mean, you have some. You were going to tell some interesting stories about people in the United States have don't understand at all what's happening.
Yeah,
It makes no sense to any of us. Why somebody would do something like this.
Exactly. And You know, I just wanted to tell the story today of two Christian pastors and how they came to the Lord. The first one was actually a Afghani terrorist. I met him face to face. I heard his testimony. I shook his hand. And his story is that he was living in Afghanistan during the reign of the Taliban. And
so that would have been what years?
I was afraid you'd ask me that. I don't remember. Okay. I'm sorry.
Right.
So I should have looked it up. I don't remember the exact time. I heard him speaking at an Iranian Christmas gathering in Sacramento. It was a big assembly of hundreds of Iranian Christians there. And you know, the Afghanis speak a form of Persian. It's not the same as Farsi. It's Dari. But we can understand each other. And so he was giving his testimony in Afghani. And he talked about how he was coming home one day as a young man. And he was warned by a neighbor, don't go home. The Taliban has destroyed your entire family. Now, in the Middle East, when you say family, it's more than the immediate family. It's out a ways, generationally and also laterally. And so many, many of his family members had been destroyed, and I don't know why they were targeted. He did not consider himself a political person. He was not agitating. But they said, you are the only survivor of your family. Now, there were some odd, you know, cousins and uncles who also happened to be away from home, but he was not. And so he became very embittered and angry and resentful, and he vowed that he was going to get back at the Taliban, one man. He crossed the border into Russia, and he said on the other side of the border, they have terrorist camps where they train Middle Eastern people, Muslims, in terrorism. He spent 2 years in those camps learning everything he needed to know about how to destroy whoever was around him in the moment that he would detonate himself and be destroyed. That's what he was living for, was revenge. He came back armed, not with knowledge and armed with arms and bombs, came back across the border, again was approaching his hometown and figuring out, you know, how he's going to do this.
And he was going to blow himself up.
He was going to, well, that's the thing about terrorism, is they take themselves out with everybody around them. They become the bomb. And
so was he ready to, he was ready to go.
Totally.
So all he had to do is hit the switch, he would have blown up and blown up other people.
Yes.
Okay, so what happened? What
well,
stopped?
Again, he ran into some friend or neighbor, and they said, they're on to you. The government knows where you've been the last 2 years. This is not a safe place for you. You better get out of here as fast as you can. And by the grace of God, he did. He didn't kill anybody. Although in his heart, as Jesus said in Sermon on the Mount, he had murdered millions. But, you know, physically, he hadn't killed anyone. So he went illegally across the border into Iran. And he went across Iran and illegally across the border between Iran and Turkey. And he ended up in Istanbul. And he was a refugee. He had no papers. And the Iranian government at that time had a handshake with the Turkish government that when they run into the political escapees and the refugees, they round them up and send them back to Iran. So he knew he was in danger, but he was Afghani, and they kind of let him alone. And he said one night he went out because he was bored and he was hungry and he didn't have any money, and he just wanted to see what was happening in the city. And he said he was attracted to this big bonfire in the street.
And we'll pick up the story from there. And ultimately, the story's a good one. So,
yes.
But I want to hear what happens, and I want to hear what is the moment that makes people switch. Is there one moment, or is it just a gradual process when people find the Lord? And maybe sometimes it's just a switch that turns on. Continue talking to Gidi Hansen about Muslim, the religion, and why it doesn't make sense to us in the United States. We come back.
Thrivent Financial for Lutherans helps make preparing for retirement easy. How? It all comes down to smart, simple strategies. That means no overly ambitious savings goals, just doable, manageable solutions to help you retire more comfortably, no matter what your means. Smart, simple, doable. Just ask any of our nearly 3 million members. In Chico, your Thrivent Financial representative is Daniel Cluas. Call 530-321-4059. Registered representatives for securities offered through Thrivent Investment Management Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
As a Christian community, we have a real opportunity to support local Christian education. We are challenging everyone that hears this message to step out in faith and let's see what God can accomplish when we all work together. Be a champion for champion. We are part of the North Valley Community Foundation's Annie B fundraiser. It runs from now until September 30th, and donations are partially matched. So donate at nvcf.org today. And be a champion for champion.
Hello and welcome to our show.
I'm Scott Ulrich.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Christy McShane.
Join us each weekday at 12:30 p.m. for our show, Chico Now.
A half hour designed for the community and brought to you by the community.
Each day, one of our hosts will join with people from organizations throughout the greater Chico area.
We want to let you know what's happening in Chico Now.
So join us at 12:30, Monday through Friday, here on KKXX for Chico Now.
Hi, this is your friend Steve Michaels inviting you to join me for a journey through the 20th century on The Afternoon Harvest, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 p.m. on 104.5 FM and 930 AM, KKXX, Life Radio.
This is Live Local Talk.
Giddy Hansen is a marriage and family therapist registered intern at The Growing Place. If you want to talk about issues that you or your family may have or friends have with perhaps a Christian perspective, her office number is 588-0448. 588-0448. She was also born in Iran and lived some of her years growing up in there, being shuttled back and forth to the United States until she became a Christian at the age of 28. And she was Muslim till then. And she's we're going to pick up the story, Giddy, right that we had on the break about this pastor now who is now.
He comes to this bonfire in the street and he walks up to a gentleman and he noticed they were throwing books into the bonfire and he asked them, "What are you doing?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "We're burning Bibles." Mm-hmm. And this was a time when the Turkish government became very, very anti-Christian and they were rounding up Christians. Mm-hmm. And he became curious. And he said, "Can I see one of those before you toss it in the fire?" Mm-hmm. And the guy was about to toss it, and he held it over his shoulder. And my friend, grabbed it and just randomly tore out some pages, gave it back to him, and the guy tossed it in the fire. Mm-hmm. Well, he folded the pages in half, put it in his pocket. He went back to the hostel or wherever he was staying, and he opened it up. And it happened to be the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and 6.
It's the best scripture that in the Bible, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And it happened to be a Bible in Persian, not an English Bible, not a Turkish Bible, not an Arabic Bible, but a Persian Bible that he could read. And he said the first thing his eyes fell upon was our Lord saying, and you can just hear our Lord saying so beautifully, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you." And he said he read that and all of the anger and the vengeance and the desire to destroy himself and all the Taliban. And he said he just broke down weeping. Mm-hmm. And he kept on reading in the gospel, the little portion he had. And finally, at the end of the night, he said, "Jesus, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are. But whatever you are, I want you. Mm-hmm. What's the next step? Send somebody to show me the next step."
It's a wonderful story, and it's a great story. But can that story be applied to what we now have with the latest estimate, 31,000 members of ISIS who have not heard that story, and how that story gets to them before they cause more destruction and death?
That's a great question. And, when I met this gentleman, I shook his hand. I wanted to shake the hand of a former terrorist. And he'd become a pastor. He met his wife, his future wife.
Where's
in
he
Germany.
Now?
He's in America, the last I heard.
Uh-huh.
He married an American missionary in Germany. Germany gave him refuge.
Uh-huh.
And they married. He became automatically an American citizen. And he was touring Persian churches in America to bring his message, and also American churches. And so when I shook his hand, I told him, I said, ever since 9/11, our church has been praying for terrorists at every single communion service, which we have two a week. And he said, as I was shaking his hand, he looked me in the eyes and he said, "Then you were praying for me."
Yeah.
And he started to cry. So to answer your question, Jerry, do not underestimate the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. Did I know his name? No. Did I know he was going to go from Afghanistan through Iran to Turkey? No. Did I know he was going to find a Bible and God would slay him with the words of the gospel? No. But I knew God, and I knew how to pray for the conversion of Muslims.
Well, if we believe what the Bible says, Jesus says, anything that you ask for in my name will happen.
And in my name means in accordance with my will. And we know it's God's will for sinners to be converted. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So we can pray that. And then the sinner himself or herself has a choice to make when that moment comes, that moment of decision.
I guess one of the questions I think a lot of Christians have, and I guess I'm speaking for myself, and maybe I speak for other listeners out there who wonder, are we making any progress in this?
Because what we hear
is, you know, we're probably going to get that music any second. We have one more segment. But because I want to make it, because what we hear is another god-awful beheading. It's another more savagery. We hear now there's 31,000 ISIS. Now we hear that they want to come across the border in the United States. We hear that they want to cause more mayhem. And we go, what's the Christian community doing so that this doesn't get any
Jerry,
worse?
If the Christian community would pray, it would turn the world upside down. Instead of falling under the fear of the terrorists, we have the God of love. We worship the God of the universe. We have everything on our side. It is such an imbalance. This war is so balanced in our favor and against our enemies that we can be gracious enough and generous enough to pray for them.
You always have to remember, God said, you know, vengeance is mine.
Yes.
Okay, you don't have to go out and get vengeance. However, that's in the kingdom of God. There's also the kingdom of the world, which Christ himself acknowledged, that there is a different kingdom here that you abide by their laws. Does that mean that Britain and the United States are just supposed to sit on their hands passively and say, we're just going to pray and not battle these people
No. Governments have to still be governments. But you asked me, what's the church to do?
Right.
You didn't ask me what everybody on the face of the earth is to do.
But can the church condone us as United States and Britain sending missiles and trying to kill these terrorists?
That is between each individual Christian and his or her God. Mm-hmm. That is not for me to dictate someone else's conscience.
I think that's interesting, because I think that's kind of where Christians have a difficult time saying, yes, we want to pray for our enemies, but at the same time, do we want our government to kill these enemies? And that's kind of the fork in the road almost for
and
a lot of us.
You know, prayer brings wisdom.
Yeah.
Prayer brings wisdom.
We'll finish up our discussion with Didi when we come back.
Today, my new dad threw a barbecue.
I burnt everything.
Ah! And then we played catch.
I broke Mr. Lewis's window. And then, somehow, my hand.
My hand! And then my dad even let me drive his car.
The hospital's on the right! It was a rough day.
It was a great day.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is Gary Crossland. Why is the Merged Gospels Tour to Israel so special? A quick glance at our itinerary online will reveal that our single focus is on the life and teachings of Jesus. You will see a lot of Israel along the way, but this tour is entirely about Christ. This is the kind of tour that most Christians want to go on, and we've lowered our price from last year. Our goal is to put you right in the footprints of Jesus, to retrace his steps, not just physically, but spiritually as well. 75% of the sites on our tour are generally missed by tourists to Israel. On the Merged Gospels Tour, you will be visiting all the sites in Israel that you really came to see. This tour leaves March 6, 2015. Check out our itinerary and video at mergedgospels.com.
Your teaching and talk for real life.
Life Radio, KKXX, AM and FM.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
From September 24th through November 2nd, you're invited to join other Christians for 40 Days for Life, 40 days of prayer, fasting for an end to abortion. You're also invited to stand and peacefully pray during a 40-day vigil in the public right-of-way outside Planned Parenthood on Cohasset Road. If you're interested in being a part of this peaceful demonstration and prayer, you're asked to call Mary. Her number is 345 345-8638. 345-8638. 40 Days for Life begins September 24th. I'm speaking to Gidi Hansen. She works for The Growing Place as a marriage and family therapist registered intern. Also was born and raised, in Iran, and she was a Muslim until she became a Christian at the age of 28. And you had another story you wanted to share with us.
Yes, this is my dear brother, a pastor in Sacramento, who shared his testimony, and I'll make it really short. Uh-huh. He was living in Mashhad, which is considered the most holy religious city in Iran, probably after Qom, which mm-hmm. is just outside of Tehran. And, the church in Mashhad was really getting crushed long before they closed down all the churches in Iran, which they did in the summer of 2013, mm-hmm. which in the first time in Iranian history that all the churches, including the Armenians and the Assyrians, were closed down because mm-hmm. they were never of Muslim background. They were always Christian. Uh-huh. And so anyway, he's thinking of killing himself. He's very serious about it. And he's a very intellectual guy, and he's an atheist. And he decided, well, you know what, before I kill myself, you know, I don't know anything about church or Jesus or Christianity. Let me just pay a visit to this church. Mm. So he goes to a church on a Sunday morning, turned out was an Orthodox church, and they wouldn't let him in. And they said, it's against the law. We cannot let you in. If you were born a Muslim, we threaten our own, we jeopardize ourselves, you can't come in. Mm-hmm. And that made him very angry and bitter. And he said, well, so much for the church and so much for Jesus. But then a friend said, there's another Persian church that will let you in. And they also are, they're an Armenian branch, but they are Assemblies of God, and they will let you in. So he went in, and the whole church consisted of the pastor, who was Bishop Haik Hosipion Mer, and four other gentlemen. And then this pastor, my friend, became the fifth member. And that day, the sermon was on, you wouldn't believe it, but it was on Matthew 5 and 6, the Sermon on the Mount. And once again, in loving your enemies, and also the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. And my friend was converted with his mind first, not his heart. The first guy, his heart was converted and his mind followed. My friend said, I'm very cerebral, I'm very intellectual, and I realize what the Sermon on the Mount says makes total sense. It's the only thing that's ever made sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I want this man. Long story short, all five parishioners ended up becoming pastors. The pastor, Bishop Haik, was martyred. He was killed. He was imprisoned and tortured. Three others were imprisoned and tortured. My friend and the other guy got away. He got away. He took refuge in England, and from England he came to America, and he has a church in Sacramento.
Yeah, that's a great story. You know, I was thinking as you were talking about this, we do talk a lot about prayer, but I think as Christians sometimes we don't have enough faith that
exactly.
prayer makes a difference.
We'll
hear somebody. Like somebody passed out some literature and they wanted some money for something. I said, but we'll accept prayers too. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I'll pray. You know, and I don't know whether or not we really think, okay, yes, I'll pray for these people to be converted, but maybe it's just sort of just a half-hearted prayer. Well, I hope this happens.
Those of us who pray seriously know the power of prayer.
Uh-huh.
When you think of it, when Jesus would speak out over someone to heal him, he was praying. And when we pray, we tap into the power of God just the way that Jesus did.
But the parents of this man I just saw on television the other day, Mr. Foley, who was killed by terrorists, when they hear words about prayer and the difference it makes, they're looking and saying, when Mark's son was captive and we prayed the most sincere prayer we can give in Jesus' name, and it didn't turn out the way they wanted, and it didn't happen. So there's people who look at prayer and say, well, Jesus did not.
And
do
you
what
know
he
what?
Said he would.
Every serious prayer warrior will have that moment, and then the battlefield becomes your own heart and your own mind. Mm-hmm. Jesus prayed in the garden. It's the only prayer we know of that his father said no to.
Right.
And it was his Gethsemane. And we will all have our Gethsemane moments mm-hmm. when what we pray earnestly and in faith, the father says no.
That's what's hard.
Yes.
Because sometimes it does seem like there's a conflict, and we struggle with it as Christians because
yes.
Jesus says, I will do what you say if you do it in my name.
Which means in my will.
In my will.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the will of God for us to suffer and die.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's the way, that's when you say it that way, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's hard. I know it's hard. I feel for those parents. I don't want to go over their pain lightly.
I know.
But it's a reality that we will all face. And the way I look at it, Jerry, is those moments come to everybody, Christian and non-Christian. Mm-hmm. And my choice is, am I going to face it and go through it with Jesus or without Jesus? That's the only choice I have.
Because the ones who do it without Jesus wind up destroying themselves even more.
Yes,
because,
exactly.
You know, Richard Nixon said something and before he left office. He said, you know, you should never hate your enemies. Because if you hate your enemies, you'll destroy yourself.
Oh, man. I never knew he said something that wise.
He said something that wise. He did, because it's a shame that he didn't actually listen to his own advice before he left office. It was a very moving moment when he said goodbye to the staff. And he said, you know, when you hate your enemies, you know, you'll destroy yourself. Well, and essentially, that's what he ended up doing to himself.
Yeah. And
yes.
You know, what's interesting is he opened up China.
Uh-huh.
And through capitalism and through business and commerce, one of our biggest enemies and the most populated nation on earth, I believe, is coming down without any bloodshed.
Uh-huh.
You know, and just think of it. Nixon did that. He opened it up for us.
It's hard to believe. I don't know how we went from Muslim to Richard Nixon.
It was what you said about praying for your enemies.
Praying for your enemies.
And loving your enemies, otherwise you destroy yourself,
uh-huh.
Which is very wise.
Yeah, because when you hold on to that hatred,
mm-hmm.
You do things, even things you don't mean to do, that cause you to hurt yourself in other ways, because other people see your angst and your hatred and your bitterness, and it destroys. So you ultimately destroy yourself when you hate your enemies.
And you also, even physiologically,
uh-huh.
even in brain chemistry, you destroy yourself,
right.
And give yourself sicknesses and ulcers and depression and anxiety and all kinds of things.
Tell me, we have only a few more. Well, we don't have any more time. We're out of time.
Yes.
Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. I want to make sure that I give the information again one more time. First of all, thank you for being on the show.
Oh, my
You're
pleasure.
Always welcome. We want you on every week to tell us about things that are going on. But your stories on Muslimism, Muslim faith was very, very interesting.
Thank you.
Gidi can be found at the Growing Place. They're on East Avenue. Her phone number is 588-0448. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one.
Holbrook's Clearance Center, the North State's number one furniture liquidators.
Holbrook's Clearance Center sells national name brand furniture at 50 to 75% off retail.
Come in and see unbelievable pricing on dining sets, coffee and table sets, and complete bunk beds.
Holbrook's also carries dressers, recliners, futons, sofa, and sofa love seat combos.
Holbrook's has something comfortable for every room in your home, and we'll sell you the inventory right off the floor.
Holbrook's Clearance Center is everything for your home.
Open 7 days a week.
CrossFit is elite training that everyone can experience.
Fitness programs come and go.
Greg Glassman, developer of CrossFit, has changed the world, transforming fitness into a measurable and meaningful sport.
It's like nothing you've ever done before.
All in-mill CrossFit classes and private coaching sessions are exclusively programmed by our 9 well-trained and diversified CrossFit trainers.
Once you experience it, you will be hooked.
You'll want to push yourself further and harder than you ever have before.
Discover an inner strength that you never knew existed.
In-mill CrossFit is designed for individual scalability, making it the perfect application for committed individuals.
Regardless of their previous experience or current fitness level.
In-mill CrossFit workouts are designed and built to incorporate constantly varying and focused exercise movements.
Performed at high intensity levels.
The best part?
You create the intensity level for yourself.
In-mill CrossFit programs are extremely fun and safe.
And best of all, it works.
Take your fitness to a whole new level. In-motion Fitness.
Come get some.
You must be the guys from Somalia.
Sudan.
The job she never wanted.
It's our story anyway.
In America, we are nothing.
That is not true.
Will become the family she never expected.
I don't think they're going to make it if we don't help.
Critics are calling The Good Lie uplifting and inspiring, full of hope and humor. Reese Witherspoon.
I will pray for you.
DRD.
DRD?
It means great white cow.
Well, it's better than a lot of things I've been called.
The Good Lie. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In select theaters October 3rd. Everywhere October 24th.